coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This room is magnetically, hermetically sealed. There is no way any spirits, any devils, any extraterrestrial contacts can make it through these walls. We are perfectly safe in here today, and we will need to be. This is the reason why I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. I never have. It's because of the building of this room. It's just the walls are pure lead, at least 6 inches thick. I'm making all that up. Anyway. I've got a lot of stuff on my mind today. And a lot of it pertains to a video that I came across, or somebody sent it to me. I think I came across this one. YouTube said, Mike, you're really going to like this one. Now, this will fall under the Fair Use Act. I am using Oprah Winfrey's copyrighted material from 1992. But number one, I'm not making any money off of it. I do not monetize my videos ever. This one will not be monetized, so I'm not worried about that. And I'm using it as I'm going to give comment. I'm using it for educational purposes and to give comment on the content of this particular video. And I have one. I've got another one. I don't think I'll play the audio on. But this one, definitely, for sure, you've got to see this one. And before I play the video for you, let's get our Bibles out. Job chapter 4. There is a very, very eerie thing that happened in Job chapter 4 to one of Job's friends, Eliphaz the Temanite. And it's something that I guarantee you rattled his cage. So let me ask you a question as we get started. Have you ever seen a spirit? Have you ever seen a spirit? Have you ever seen poltergeist, a haint, they used to call them, which means haunt, a geist, a ghost, a spirit, a devil? Some say the word demon. I don't necessarily have a problem with that word. The Bible word for it is devil, so I will use the word devil just so that you are understanding what I'm saying. I personally don't think that I've ever seen one. I don't think that I have. Now, they're supposedly, and I don't disbelieve some of the people in this church that have told me that they have, when they are here, usually by themselves, some very odd things take place. They will hear music playing. They will hear cabinet doors shut. I have Let's see if I can find it. I have a, I took a photograph of the picture that some of the children here at this church drew for me. My son is one of them. And there are others who say, yes, that is exactly what I saw. That they have seen the image of a boy here with sort of, I guess, ragged clothing on, things like that. I thought that I had, I thought I would be able to find the picture rather easily, but I don't see it. If I happen to come across it, I thought it would be like, you know, within the last few weeks I got this picture, but apparently not. While I'm looking at pictures, I will say, hooray, hurrah, we're feeding today in Turkana, Kenya. The goal is, of course, 400 families over the next 3 days. 400 families a day for the next 3 days, 1,200 families total. And that's our goal. And we appreciate all your prayers and the love that you have shown for the people of Turkana. We ask you to continue doing it. Don't stop. God is doing a wonderful work there. And I want you to just understand, these people, it isn't like they love being on welfare, because there is no welfare in Kenya. So if it wasn't for us feeding them, they would literally probably starve to death, not having any food, not having any sustenance whatsoever. And so that I can tell you what Michael brought back to me was they were very appreciative of the help that they have been given. In fact, I do have, oh, you're going to like this. Let me just show you this. Let me get back to the beginning of it. And I'll hold it up to the camera. They stopped the vehicle that Michael and some of the workers were in. And they walked him and around. They paraded around him and danced and sang a song of thanksgiving. That was their way of showing appreciation for helping them out. Now that's more than just a thank you. You know, Africans, when they do something, they put all their body into it, the whole thing. And I was very, very blessed by that. I still don't see the picture that was sent to me. But anyway, I'm just going to have to move on from there. Let's read the book of Job, chapter 4. Job's friend, Eliphaz the Temanite, remember he was one who was counseling Job. Of course, he was giving him all the wrong counsel. The words were right. They were directed into the wrong place. Job had not done anything wrong. They completely messed that up. But I want you to look at, let's pick it up in verse 12 of Job chapter 4. I hope you have your Bible out. Job chapter 4, verse 12. Now a thing was secretly brought to me. And and mine ear received a little thereof in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Now, this is a vision that he received apparently while he was deep in sleep, but he remembers every detail of it. I've had such vivid dreams, and I will say this, I have had what I believe to be prophetic dreams. Now, there's a really good chance you will never hear me tell you what was in those dreams. There's a really good chance you'll never hear me do it, because I would rather give you the truth of the Word of God, the written plain text of the Word of God, than for me to give you a dream because of this. Number one, how do you really know that I dreamed it? You don't. You can't know that. You might say, well, you know, Pastor Mike, he sort of built himself a reputation where if he says something, I can't imagine him lying about it. You might say that, but I'm fully capable of lying. Totally capable. I know how to do it. Done it before. So I wouldn't trust it simply on that reason alone. Number two, we have a sure word of prophecy. We have something more. If Peter himself came walking in this broadcast center and said, let me tell you about the time I heard God's voice, I would love to hear him say that. But I have something better than what Peter said. It's the written word of God. So, here's what Eliphaz the Temanite said occurred in his vision. He said, verse 12 again, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. I've been through that one. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Are you kidding me? Had I been in a dream, I would have passed out in my dream. Guarantee you I would have passed out in my dream. And then he says, so he said, as a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Now, I think that verse is a direct historical account of God holding a trial, or let's say a pre-trial hearing, to determine whether or not there is enough evidence to go to a trial against these angels. The charge was folly. In this case, it was folly with human women. That's what I believe. I believe that God at this point held court in heaven, brought these angels that had fallen from heaven, married human women, produced the giants. I believe God brought them before him and had a pre-trial hearing and said, I am charging you with the crime of folly, committing folly with human women. That's what I believe. So he said in verse 19, how much less than them that dwell in houses of clay, meaning us, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. And that part, of course, is talking about man. And he's saying here, if God can charge angels with a crime, who is man? And again, this is, the words are right. They're just pointed in the wrong direction. They're pointed at Job, and Job did not do anything wrong here. But you have an encounter. You have a human encounter with a devil, with a spirit. And Eliphaz the Temanite, I guarantee you, will remember this story the rest of his life. You don't meet a devil and then forget about it. You remember that time you met with a devil, Grandpa? What are you talking about? You know, you told the story that a devil came into your room and, no, I don't remember that. Unless there's something wrong with the brain, he's going to remember that the rest of his life. Now, here is, and again, I don't know why this is like a 4.5 minute clip from an Oprah Winfrey episode from 1992. It's got the date there on the top of a boy who has a near-death experience and meets a wizard. Bah, bah, bah. Now, I want you to remember the story of when Saul met a familiar spirit pretending to be Samuel. I want you to remember that story as you watch this. Pay attention now to what Oprah says.
Sand, and this time I chose to dig a tunnel. And after it was over, I called my mom.
I'm gonna back that up a little bit.
Wizard, his name is Christian Davis, and his mother is Marcia Davis. What happened, Christian?
Well, I was down the beach before summer started, and the water was too cold to swim in, so I dig holes or tunnels in the sand. And this time I chose to dig a tunnel. And after it was over, I called my mom over to see. And look at it. She said that was great, but you couldn't go in. It was too dangerous. So
you went in anyway.
No. She said to get ready to go and that we'll be leaving soon. So I got my stuff together and I noticed there was not even a crack in the top. So I went to pat it up because I didn't want to wreck it. So and it caved in on me. And I thought, usually I've been buried from the waist down, maybe, and I could get out, but the more I squeezed, the more the sand compacted on me.
Yeah, so you tried to scream, and your lungs got filled with sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened?
Well, I faded out, like, from reality, and I was just being brought up this tunnel of light, brightness, and up this tunnel, I just, like, noticed parts of my life that wouldn't even occur to me to remember if I was alive.
Like what?
I saw when I was Christmas when I was about 4 years old, and I saw my mom digging me out and my mom driving to the hospital. And then I knew that I wasn't in my body and that I was dead, close to death at least. And so then I came to the end of this tunnel and noticed there was a man that first, because of his robes and white robes and bright light, occurred to me at first as a wizard-like man. And I also saw relatives that had died that year, or such as my friend, or his name's Ryan, and he drowned in a pool. And
you saw him?
Yeah.
Yes. Did he speak to you?
No. No. He's two. And then the wizard, without moving his mouth, spoke to me and said, "Struggle, you're too young to die, and you'll go back. It's not your time yet." And all of a sudden I opened my eyes, and I was going down this hall in the hospital to the ICU, intense care unit.
So what made you tell? Because, you know, most kids who have this experience, unless questioned thoroughly by somebody who's interested in this kind of thing, don't tell. Why did you tell?
Well, first, I didn't remember it, but I went into the CAT scan, and by that time I was afraid of needles and everything, and I got in there, and the bright light came and said, "Nothing's going to happen, you're going to be okay, you're going to go back." And I fell asleep.
So are you saying the light talked?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of all this, Marcia?
Well, it was interesting because when he had to have the CAT scan, he was very, very upset and nervous, almost to the point of crying. And, you know, the nurses and I tried to talk to him, and when he did go in to have the CAT scan, he was out in like 5 minutes, and the nurse said, "I can't believe it, he fell right asleep." It was about 15 minutes after that, back in intensive care, when he looked at me, and he was very calm and very peaceful, and he said, "I saw God in the machine." And I said, "What do you mean?" And at this point, he hadn't mentioned anything about a wizard. And he said, "I saw God in the machine." And I said, "Did he speak to you?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Everything's going to be okay. Don't be afraid." And then he continued with, "I saw God in the tunnel." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "There was a very bright light." And I just started to shake because I knew a little bit about near-death experiences. And very slowly the story unfolded from that point, that he saw deceased members of our family and a friend. And I just started to cry because I knew it was a miracle.
People, that's absolutely nuts. Now, I believe it. I believe what this young man is saying. I believe the story that he's telling. For him to, and he's very composed on the Oprah Winfrey show. Here he is in front of this famous celebrity, and he knows, I mean, there's a studio audience. He knows he's going to be talking to about 20 million people. And they're all going to hear his story. And I don't think he's making this up. I believe that he saw exactly what he said he saw. The fact that he said that it looked like a wizard to him brings up this idea. Let me see if I can find a picture here. There's a tarot card called the Hermit, and it was actually, I believe, here it is, featured on one of Led Zeppelin's albums, the one with the Stairway to Heaven, the one that the Stairway to Heaven is on. I believe that this young man saw a spirit that resembles this here. And I'll tell you why. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, if you remember, let me read it to you so you don't have to remember. And I don't like being argumentative with people, but my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Saul did not talk to Samuel after Samuel died. It was not Samuel, and the Bible makes that extremely clear to us. Makes it, I mean, in no uncertain terms, we know that this was not Samuel. It was a what the Bible refers to as a familiar spirit. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 28, let's see here if I can find it. In verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. The Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, listen to this now. This is very important to the story. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. This was not Samuel the prophet that came back from the dead to tell Saul what to do. Because God already said to Saul, I'm not talking to you. And I won't talk to you from here. People, if you still, by the grace of God, have the ability to read and believe your Bible, get out on your face before God and say, God, thank you. Thank you for not turning me over to a reprobate mind. And so verse 6, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor, which is where they got the word Endora from, bewitched. And Saul disguised himself, verse 8, and put on other raiment. And went, and the two men went with him, and they came to the woman by the night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up, bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life and to cause me to die. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And if I'm the woman, I'm kind of laughing a little bit. Yeah, like I'm going to bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. This is verse 12. The woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. The king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto her, I saw gods, plural, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And he said, an old man covered up, he is covered with a mantle. Look at those pictures. The tarot card called the Hermit is of an old man covered with a mantle. That means a hood. So you cannot see his face. You cannot see his visage. You cannot see his real, true identity, whatever he looks like. And yes, I do possibly think that it is possible that these spirits, or this particular spirit, is disguising his true appearance. That's what I think. I think he's disguising his true appearance. Now, what does he really look like? I don't think we know. But I think they can appear as this, and certainly the one that came up and spoke with Samuel, the one that this little boy saw. People, it was not God. It was not Jesus Christ. And I've heard people have near-death experiences and say that they saw Jesus. Jesus invited them into heaven. Was watching live PD one night. And they got a call to go to this house. This woman had dated this guy. And he pulls out some methamphetamine. And he's doing what's called slamming it. Instead of smoking it, he's got it in such a form to where it's in a needle. And he's just pushing it right directly into his veins. And all of a sudden, he is having these religious experiences. This is Utah, so they're more like Mormon experiences. But he believes that he is talking to God and Jesus Christ while his body is just shaking like this because of the methamphetamine rushing through his body. I mean, it was a sad, sickening, it was an awful sight to see what this man was going through. And the cop was just like, well, load him in the ambulance and let's see if we can save him. It was absolutely terrible what we saw, what I saw there, what this guy was going through. Here's the point I'm making. There is a lot of noise on the internet now concerning UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, the ATIP program, unidentified aerospace, is what it means, aerospace threat identification program. Let's, number one, find out what these things are. Number two, find out what kind of threat they represent to, let's say, not just the United States, but to the entire world. And there is an increase in sightings. Major increase in UFO sightings. Sightings that are captured on people's cell phone cameras. People are videoing these objects that just do not look like anything that we have anywhere. There are some who believe that it's our secret technology that a certain department of the government has created and knows about and won't tell the rest of the government. Well, what good is it? What good is it if it's a flying object that we have that is so top secret that we can't even use it in warfare? What good is it? Well, if we use it, people will find out what it is, so we can't use it. I don't get that. There are others who are saying that it's Russian technology or Chinese technology. Now, let me say this. Let's say that it's Chinese technology. If it is, and China declares war on the United States of America tomorrow, the war will be over in 3 days. China will be the obvious victor. Because these things can do things that, and I showed you video Tuesday, these objects can do things that we scratch our heads going, how in the world are they doing that? We have no idea how they're doing this. So if that's the case, then we've already lost whatever war that they may start. They might as well just point a gun and say, turn America over, surrender to us, and we'll make this the western part of China. Or if you don't, we'll unleash our UAPs on you and we'll beat you in every arena of battle. We'll beat you at the sea. We'll beat you underwater. We'll beat you on the land. We'll beat you everywhere. There's just no chance you'll be able to win whatsoever. We're just done. You have some who are somewhat forward thinking, who are actually looking at these things as a potential threat to the sovereignty of the United States of America and to our, what does the Constitution say? In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, we do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. That's what the preamble says the Constitution's all about. And of course, if the Chinese or the Russians or the Iranians or even the Ethiopians have technology like this, we're sunk. There's no way in the world we'll be able to catch up to them. No way in the world we'd be able to do it. Anyway, now let me go back to a PowerPoint, a teaching that I did several years ago, and I haven't really talked about it much since that time, but I since this kid says he saw a wizard back in 1992. So that was 92, and it's 2021. So what does that make that? Like 30 years ago? So if this kid was 12 then, he is, what, 42 years old now? He's quite the adult here. Yeah, this is how I want it. Let me put this verse up on the screen and we'll go from there. John, this is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So I went through, and I have a website, and I have an email address, and I'm going to remind everybody of this because I haven't talked about it in about 3 years now. And that is the issue of cryptid creatures. And what I mean by the word cryptid is that they are creatures that I do not believe originate from this world. Now, you could say that they are living in our space. I think it's the opposite. I think we are living in theirs. Because the spiritual realm is actually the more real realm. We're just the shadow of those things. The Bible tells us that. So, I do believe in ghosts, spirits. What Eliphaz, the friend of Job, saw in his vision was he saw a devil, a spirit that appeared before him. He could not discern his image, but he knew what it was, and he was trembling while he was in bed asleep. He was shaking like a leaf. And this thing was talking to him and so on. I've had dreams like that. I have. I don't like to talk about them, but I've had dreams like that. And I have a list of things that I've printed out that people have shared with me of things that they have seen. Now, if you would like to share with me and then our listening audience an experience that you had where you saw, let's say you saw a Bigfoot, you saw a giant wolf, you saw a cow being mutilated, that's a real thing. That is, I'm telling you, it is a real thing. You saw crop circles, you saw anything like that of a paranormal issue, and you don't feel comfortable in sharing it with the people in your family or the people you go to church with because they're going to think you're nuts. I don't. I don't think you're crazy. I think you saw something. I think you saw something that you've never seen before and you cannot explain with this world's terminology. You cannot describe it that way. So if you have, I would like for you to send me an email, witness@cryptidbible.com. witness@cryptidbible.com. I'm wondering if that's anywhere on the screen somewhere. Yeah, the Cryptid Bible. I still have the website up. Now, the bottom line, here's why I have this verse up on the screen. If it exists, God made it. No ifs, ands, or buts. And some people, believe it or not, believe that God didn't create evil things. Of course he did. Well, he didn't create them evil. They were good at first, and then they chose to be evil. Did not God know that? If God knew that, then God created them knowing that they would be evil. Did he not create Lucifer? Yes. Did he not know that Lucifer was going to fall and try to mess up Eve? Yes. If God knew that, then Satan, Lucifer, was created specifically for that purpose. That's what he said about Pharaoh. You see, the people who don't believe this stuff, they don't. Your problem is, I do believe you believe the Bible. I think your problem is you don't read it. You don't read it. You don't know what's in it. And I think like this, the situation with Pharaoh, where Pharaoh's magicians dropped their rods and they made incantations and all of a sudden their rods became serpents. That was a real event. It was a supernatural event, but it was a real event. And who allowed it to happen? Who caused it to happen? Who created the rods? Who created the serpents? Who transformed them into serpents? God did. Or look, we could say Jesus Christ did. Now, Job 12:7, ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. There is a lot of lessons to be learned in the animal kingdom. But here's what I believe. I believe that every kind of creature on the earth has a representation in the spiritual realm. Or I could say it like this. I believe that every creature in the spiritual realm has an earthly representation somehow, some way in the spirit or in the animal or vegetable kingdom. You have the tree of life in heaven. You have trees on the earth. And I believe that they, one is the shadow of the other. Job 35:11, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? Who does that? I mean, what is it that we cannot learn about God from looking at the creatures of this world, both man and beast and vegetable? Psalm 50, verse 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. God, and let me just say it this way, God doesn't get scared by ghosts. God doesn't walk through the kingdom and go, ha, ha, ha. Where did you come from? God doesn't do that. He knows what he made. Psalm 104:25, so is this great and wide sea wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. Small ones, some of them so small we cannot see them with our eyes. We have to use a telescope. That's how small they are. And yet God made them. Now, the spirit, the physical world, I believe, is a shadow of the spiritual world, not the other way around. To a lot of people, this, when they say, well, that's a spiritual meaning to that. That means it doesn't really exist except only in their mind, but that's not true. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Through faith, Hebrews 11:3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, when God created them, he created them absolutely out of nothing. There is a Latin phrase called ex nihilo, which literally means out of nothing. So if you hear someone say God created the universe ex nihilo, it means he literally created it out of nothing. He did not have any proto matter in his hand that he shifted and molded and added atoms to and then made different isotopes. And then he made the different elements and then he made stuff out of it. He just simply took nothing, spoke it into existence, and it did appear. That's what God did. 1 Corinthians 15, there all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So we know that there are a multitude. Now, I would say, again, probably as many different species of life on this earth that there are, both in the water and in the land, that there are as much or more species of, we could call them angels, good and bad angels, good angels, evil angels, we could call them that. Hebrews 8, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. So the things of this earth are simply the shadow of the real stuff that's in the heavenly realm, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And the reason why God had to show Moses that, and there were particular instructions on when they took the tabernacle down and when they raised it back up again. Very specific instructions that the tabernacle that they were worshiping at one day was exactly like the tabernacle that they worshiped 100 days before. What is it that we know about McDonald's? What is it we know? What is the one thing that we know about McDonald's restaurants? that you can go to a McDonald's in St. Louis and you can go to a McDonald's in Philadelphia, and the hamburgers are going to taste exactly the same. They tried to get McDonald's into Kenya. They would have done well there. I believe they would have made a killing in Kenya. But I think some of the Kenya politicians who own the potato farms and who have money invested in the potato growers in Kenya, they eat a lot of potatoes in Kenya. They call them chips. They fry them just like we do, but they're very big. I think they, politicians and the potato growers said, you know, we need money in our pocket before we let you build this, and McDonald's wouldn't do that. So there are no McDonald's in Kenya that I know of. So in 2011, when we went to Kenya, we finally got back to our first place in America, which was Chicago. Guess where we went? Right to McDonald's. Anyway, Hebrews 9, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the spiritual realm is actually the real realm. We're just the shadow of it. Hebrews 12, 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor unto blackness, nor darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. In other words, we're not going to an earthly mountain of Mount Sinai for our salvation. We don't have to. We can come to Mount Zion, which no matter where Mount Zion is, God is not going to ask you to make a lifelong pilgrimage to Mount Zion. God's going to bring Mount Zion to you. Beautiful. I love that. And that's what he says in Hebrews 12:22. But ye are coming to the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. 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 John 3:12, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's see what time it is. Yeah. All right. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then when he gives the illustration of it and when he tells you what it really is, he says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in the hearts. And what this means is when the Bible's showing you fowls of the earth, I believe the real meaning behind that is spirits that are going to devour much flesh. I think anytime God mentions in the Bible things about earthly creatures, I think that there is a spiritual, and when I say spiritual, I mean literally spirits. Let me show you a verse that I believe in. Just to, I don't know, maybe kind of mess with your brain a little bit. And I do believe this. I don't know, I just can't help but believe it. First Peter chapter 2, I believe. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living what? Stone. Now this is what I'm talking about. An actual stone to us, any rock that we've ever seen is not alive. It's not real. It's not alive. Doesn't have a heartbeat, doesn't recreate itself, doesn't breathe, it doesn't talk, it doesn't want to play catch, doesn't have feelings that you can talk about it all day long, bad, you can talk about its mother all day long, and it doesn't have feelings. This stone that we come to is alive. He is a living stone. Paul mentioned this when he was talking about the rock that followed the Israelites to make sure they always had plenty of water. Two things happened with the Israelites every day. First thing was that they were fed from something that looked like coriander seed, that when they got up early the next morning, they looked outside their door and there was this seed laying all over the ground. I mean, all over the ground. So they would go out and gather it up. And in this case here, the Bible says the rock that followed them was Christ. So that everywhere that Israel went, Jesus followed with them in the form of that rock. And to me, this would be so awesome. That let's say that the Israelites have been to like a dozen different places. They've traveled to a dozen different places. And the last place they left, they were getting water from this particular rock. Now, they know what this rock looks like. So they all pack up. They're headed out. Travel, 2 days, something like that. And then when they get to the place where they're going to rest and the pillar of cloud stops right there, they look over, probably to the east, and lo and behold, there's that same rock again. Same exact rock. And they're liking this. Because one of the things they know is going to happen, number one, we're going to be watered here. And number two, all we have to do is beg God to give us food, and he'll give them food. See, I love stuff like, I love believing stories like that out of the Bible. I love that stuff. To me, it's what makes the Bible the most interesting. Of all the books that you can read, the Bible is it. So he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now you think about what that means. Let me put that verse back up on the screen. Because it says that as these lively stones were built up a spiritual house, in order to do what? To offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual ones. Isn't that cool? Spiritual sacrifices. Now, are there devils out there? Yes, they're everywhere, people. Do they need to be rounded up one of these days? Yes. And then once they're rounded up, what's God going to do with them? Is he going to feed them? Is he going to clothe them every day? Give them 3 hots and a cot? Give them a commissary account so they can buy, you know, all the cigarettes and, what is it? They buy the noodles. They can buy all the cigarettes and noodles and candy bars they want and, you know, trade it for drugs. Is that what God's going to do? No. He's going to have them destroyed. Where? In the altar. And what is the altar? I believe it's hell. I believe it is. The lake of fire. Hell. Now, I could be wrong on that. But that's what I think. That's what I think is going to be happening. I think we're going to offer spiritual. We're going to offer spirits as sacrifices. Not goats and calves and little lambsy divies. We're going to be killing monsters. Is what I believe we're going to be doing. We're going to be killing monsters. Like fiery flying serpents. I believe that we're going to be killing fiery flying serpents. Psalm 148:7. Praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all the deeps. Fire and hail and snow and vapor and stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all his fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young and men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Beast and cattle and creeping things and flying fowl. 1, 2, 3, 4 types of creatures there. Now, and all the UFO videos I've watched, and if you remember this series that I did about a year and a half ago, when I was talking about the different types of aliens, one of the types of aliens is a what they call the reptiloids or the draconians. Either way, you're dealing with dragons or aliens that are in the form of snakes, fiery serpents, dragons. And they say, you know, dragons don't really exist. You know, they never were. I say that they not only did exist, but they still do in the spiritual realm. And here's the difference between our half of the world and their half of the world. On our half of the world, dragons are bad, they're evil, like snakes. I hate snakes, I hate them. In India, they worship them. China, they worship dragons. You have dragons and effigies of dragons and paintings of dragons and little statues of dragons and dragon this and dragon that. You'll even have dragon Chinese food dishes. This is from a website called crystallinks.com. They said the celestial Chinese dragon is comparable as the symbol of the Chinese race itself. Chinese around the world proudly proclaim themselves Lung Tik Chuan Ren, which means descendants of the dragon. Now you stop right here. They literally believe that they are descendants of the dragons, that that's their parentage. Let's see here. Take your Bible. Turn to Genesis 6. If I can find it, here it is. Genesis 6. It came to pass when men began to, this is before the flood. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. Now is that what Satan was before he fell? What job did Satan hold in heaven before he fell from the grace of God and from the presence of God? I believe, according to the Bible, that Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, the devil, was the one angel that God used to cover the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God. I believe he only needed one at that time. And where do I get that from? Oh, let's see here. I get that from Ezekiel. If I can find Ezekiel, here it is. Here we go. Ezekiel, is it 28? Yeah. Ezekiel 28. We're going to skip down to verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now there was not another angel like Lucifer. Not another one. He was absolutely perfect in his dealings and the role that God put him in, his beauty. The Bible says the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So God not only made Lucifer a very beautiful, adorned creature to look upon, and yes, it could possibly be a dragon of some kind. Not only did he make him that way, he made him with the ability to create music, to use music, to write music. So yes, I believe he's written a song or two. No doubt in my mind about it. So here he is. He's perfect in wisdom and perfect in beauty. And if he would have just maintained himself without becoming so arrogant, he would still be up there today, I believe. God said in verse 13, later on, the workmanship of thy tabrets and pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So I believe that before that there were two angels that cover the chariot of God with their wings and so on. But I believe during the time of Lucifer, I believe Lucifer was that one angel. And wherever God wanted to go, Lucifer took him there. Wherever God stayed, Lucifer stayed. Whatever God knew, Lucifer knew. And then it says, the workmanship of thy, and this is verse 13 again, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. What iniquity was that? Well, it explains it later on as the iniquity of pride. Verse 16, By the multitude of the merchandise, they have filled thee in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of the Lord, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up with because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So, on our half of the world, dragons are bad. They're evil. But on the Asian side of the world, here's what Crystal Link says on their website. The celestial Chinese dragon is comparable as the symbol of the Chinese race itself. Chinese around the world proudly proclaim themselves Lung Tik Chuan Ren, descendants of the dragon. The dragons are referred to as the divine mythical creature that brings with it the ultimate abundance, prosperity, and good fortune. They are the angels of the Orient. Instead of being hated, they are loved and worshipped. Temples and shrines may have been built to honor them. For they control the rain, rivers, lakes, and seas. Many Chinese cities have pagodas where people used to burn incense and pray to dragons. Both male and female dragons have mated with humans. Listen to that. Listen to that. Both male and female dragons have mated with humans. The Japanese Emperor Hirohito traced his ancestry back 125 generations to Princess Fruitful Jewel, daughter of a dragon king of the sea. The dragon is the ultimate representation of the forces of Mother Nature, the greatest divine force on earth. It is regarded as the supreme being amongst all creatures. And what does Revelation 13 tell us? Tells us that they worshiped the dragon. So you have at least half of this earth right now that if a dragon were to fall down from heaven, you have one third of the earth right now that would just think that was the greatest thing in the world. Well, I got the computer going again. Unfortunately, just don't have enough time to keep going. I will maybe finish this up or work on it some more for Tuesday. I apologize for that, but that's kind of the stuff that happens around here. Anyway, you're the reason. Oh, I got to play some music. Got to play some happy music while I'm saying this. There we go. You're the reason why we do what we do. We appreciate your prayers, your love, your support for our church and our ministry here. Remember the people of Kenya. The feeding has started today. The first 400 going out today, 400 more tomorrow, 400 more again Saturday. If we get pictures in of that feeding, I will try to get those pictures at least showing everybody on Sunday morning during the Sunday morning service. We hope that you join with us. Be praying for us as we go and prepare for Las Vegas, Nevada, which is coming up in August 27th, 28th, and 29th. And there's, I mean, I looked at the schedule. This is mostly military, ex or former military people who have engaged unidentified flying objects. People, these things are real. And they are in the Bible. And of course, you know me, we'll probably talk about them again sometime between now and August. And it's possible that I will be doing some live streaming from Las Vegas when we get there. So help us pray about that as well. This is Pastor Mike. God bless you. We will see you. Adios, amigos and amigas.